Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, the budget for the Department of Health will increase to over 27 billion euro next year, the funding as set out in Budget 2026. It includes provision for over 3,000 new staff, but the Minister for Health says she wants to ensure that the state gets value for its investment in the health system. So will this be enough to reduce the staffing shortfalls, the waiting lists and people on trolleys? Well, the Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll-McNeill, is with us now in studio. Minister, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
First thing you did when you came in, you handed me a spreadsheet, and it's very impressive. Well, there are two spreadsheets. One is then and one is now. Explain.
This is my obsessive hospital trolley figures. So, Pat, there's 29 acute hospitals in Ireland, ones with emergency departments. And what that is the number of people on trolleys in every hospital every day, going back to when I started as Minister for Health. And so you'll see that some of it is white, which is fine. That's a sort of an acceptable, normal level of people in trolleys. And some of it is yellow, which is amber, which is getting, and some of it is red. And that means just dangerously overcrowded. And you'll see there in February, most of the chart is red and amber. But if you look there at September, you can see so much improvement.
Huge improvements.
Huge
improvement. Now, people
will say,
February, flu, COVID, cold season.
Well,
September, we're just coming out of the summer. We're all healthy. Our immune systems are well topped up. That's why.
So I'd make that case too, except that if you look at it all the way through the summer, you'll see that there are some regions, particularly in the west, the northwest and the southwest, that stayed red all year. And the point is that, and this is a big point about the health system, in many ways, we can throw so much money at the health system. It's the way in which it's organised. Like Mayo Hospital, for example, has spent 80% of this year in red, but it's the seventh best staffed hospital of the Model 3 hospitals. You cannot say they don't have enough staffing or it's staff shortages. It's the way in which it's organised. Similarly, Waterford hasn't had a hospital person on a hospital trolley for a year, for 5 years. Talla this year was persistently in sort of red, amber, all the way up to about July. Then they adopted very considerably different practices and it had zero hospital trolleys in September. So it can be changed.
Now, who imposes those practices? Is it the local management or is it yourself as minister and the minister's office looking at this with fresh eyes and saying, you're doing it the wrong way?
It's a combination. It's everybody's responsibility. It's every single person's responsibility, from mine to Bernard Gloucester, to the hospital managers, to the regional executive officer, who is responsible as well for how people get out of hospital. It's all very well looking at the emergency department. The emergency department is dependent on what else happens in the hospital, that people are being discharged 7 days of the week, that there are places for them to go to in community hospitals, nursing homes, or safely go home, safely discharged. Hospital is a bit like, to be a little bit crude about it, a bit like an airport. People arrive, they move through, they must leave, or else there's a clog on the way in the emergency department.
Okay, but I mean,
and that is not safe.
One of the reasons people are discharged is it would be a bit like getting food poisoning if you went to the airport. You don't want to get food poisoning there. You can get sicker being in a hospital. So really, it's in everybody's interest to spend as little time in hospital as you possibly can.
Absolutely, especially in an acute hospital. And that's from a cost effectiveness perspective. That's from the risk of infection. You are much better off as close to home as possible. That's what Sláintecare is about. And actually, we've now introduced two virtual wards, Pat. If you're in Limerick or you're in Vincent's, you can be an admitted patient of the hospital, but be at home. So you're wearing wearable technology that's monitoring all your vital signs. You're getting check-ins all of the time from the virtual wards. And there are up to 40 people. And that equates to 40 hospital beds, 40 people at home or on their couch, which is a much better place. Now, this is a safe thing to do. It's for people with ongoing respiratory illness, perhaps oncology, perhaps cardiology. And I'm introducing another 5 virtual wards around the country in the next year, because this is something that really, really works. People can be at home instead of in acute hospital beds, whereas you say the risk of infection naturally is different.
We do need hospital beds, though.
Of
people
course.
Have to go in and get treated. The plan for 2026 includes somewhere between 220 and 265 extra acute hospital beds. But the programme for government says between 4,000 and 4,500. So if you do the math, 200 this year, let's do it. We'll do simple math. Multiply that by five for the 5 years of this government. It gets you to 1,000. It doesn't get you anywhere near 4,000.
Yeah, and there's no question. We have a relentless focus on trying to increase hospital beds. I'm opening 96 in Limerick just next week. We've just got planning permission for another 96 there. There's no question but that we need acute beds and the staff to go with them. But we also need to realise that there's new ways of treating people that are going to change how people are treated and how long they need to spend in hospital beds. So, for example, through surgical hubs and elective hospitals, we're going to see people getting much more day case procedures without the need for extended stays or coming into a hospital bed, for example, the night before a surgery when it can be done on the day. There's no question we have a growing population, we have an aging population. Both of those things are two marks of success. That is a really good thing for a state.
Sure, we're living longer, we must be looked after better, therefore.
Precisely, and we're going to need more medicine and we're going to need more diagnosis and treatment. But the point of Sláinte Care is to try to move away from acute hospital settings as much as possible.
I know you will say to me, they would say this anyway, because I'm going to quote from the Irish Medical Organisation, who say that you'd fail to plan for a future health service that can meet the needs of an ageing and indeed a growing population. And the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation said Budget 2026 lacks the ambition required when it comes to scaling up staffing and capacity.
Look, both of those organisations are hugely important parts of the health of the health ecosystem generally. I respect them so, so much and I value their opinions all of the time. What I have here is a 1.5 billion euro uplift on the health spend. We spend, just so everybody knows, a quarter of every of all of the state spending goes on health. And we have 3,300 people coming into the health system the next year. We've had nearly 30,000 people, new staff, come into the health system in the last 5 years. But what we haven't had is an appropriate level of productivity to go with that.
Because so, if you look at the budgets, maybe a decade or a little more than that ago, we were talking about a 10 billion budget for the health service.
Yeah,
it's gone up
incredibly.
It's doubled.
So in 2014, the budget for health was 14 billion euros. Now it's 27 billion euros.
Doubled, so
yes,
virtually.
Essentially, yes. So, but are we, for example, we are not seeing the same productivity as we had in 2016. We have more consultants in the system, but they are doing fewer appointments than they were in 2016. So I can throw all of the money, we can recruit all of the people, but unless the system is working in a way that's more productive, gives better value to the taxpayer and better surety and security for the patient, then you know, it's a sort of a circular conversation and it's not sufficient. It's not a good enough standard to just pile more money into it without saying, well, what are we all getting for that? And there is more. For example, Pat, we have already spent money on theatres. We have already spent money on CT machines. It is essential that they are working over the weekends. It is not acceptable that the state has put money into theatres and they lie idle on weekends.
I've had scans at, in the private facilities at 10 o'clock at night.
And now you're going to see more of that in the public system. So, for example, since we started this year really pushing the contract that consultants have, which means that they should be rostered on Saturdays and in the evenings, and the health service, all of the unions have agreed to work 5 days over seven. This is transformative. We're seeing some changes. For example, in Drogheda, three of their seven theatres are now running over the weekends. In the Mater, they've been using their theatres on Saturdays. An extra 300 people had surgeries this year on Saturdays that wouldn't have happened last year. We're beginning to see gynaecology theatres working on Saturdays again. And there's examples from all over the country, but it's not uniform yet. So I think it's a reasonable thing for you or for anybody to say to me, come here, you're after spending 27 billion euros a year on health. We'd like a bit better value from it. Why would you leave anything sitting idle?
You mentioned Drogheda. Please ask the minister what she's going to do about Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital overcrowding in Drogheda. Open Louth Hospital. They all talk while we all suffer. That's from Helen in Dundalk.
So I'm really impressed with the effort that Our Lady of Lourdes have put in. For example, they now have weekend clinics for paediatrics and dermatology commencing just this quarter. They have opened a virtual ward for cardiology patients to go live now in November of this year. And they are trying, they really are trying to get on top of their hospital trolley figures. But but I can see the level of effort that they are putting in. And by the way, Drogheda have pioneered something really special in the health system. The catering team in Drogheda have used AI to monitor food waste and what's being used and what's not being used. They've saved the hospital and therefore the taxpayer €92,000 this year by looking at AI and food waste. And that is something, an innovation from the catering manager and the catering team in Drogheda.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
That should be rolled out to all of the hospitals.
I mean, that kind of innovation.
I'm just showing the effort is there.
Yeah. Okay.
It really is.
When you talk about the impact that you hope to have on this, there's kind of an implicit criticism, therefore, of Stephen Donnelly, of Leo Varadkar, of Simon Harris, all of whom occupied this particular portfolio and didn't achieve what you were trying to achieve.
No, I don't think so. I think everybody brings something different to this role. And Stephen Donnelly had strengths that I don't have, and perhaps I have strengths that other people don't. Like, everybody brings their own lens to it. And I am the beneficiary of the investment that previous ministers secured for the health system. I am the beneficiary of the work that Stephen Donnelly did on the productivity dashboard, for example, that enables us to compare hospital by hospital, specialism by specialism, what is the productivity of each of the individual consultants. So I think we all build on top of it, and I think there's no room for ego in health. This is about serving the people. Mm. This is about serving the community. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's my name or anybody else's name. What I'm interested in is how much has Beaumont Hospital reduced its trolley numbers? It's 30% reduction this year, despite a 6% increase in attendances. It doesn't matter about Jennifer or Stephen or anyone else. What matters is that people going to Beaumont are having a better experience.
Now, people will criticise your style. Abrasive is one word could be used. And I would suggest maybe you're channeling your inner Donald Trump sometimes. You know, your encounter with David Begg in The Matter, for example, who was the chair of the board, that was widely reported. And he said to you, you're only the Minister for Health. You're not God. And then you stormed out.
Well, I don't know how to answer that, Pat.
It did happen, though, didn't it?
Well, here, I'm doing my job. I'm trying to use all of the data that I can and all of the skills that I have to try to get a better service for patients in the Matter Hospital.
Would you accept that you rub people up the wrong way sometimes?
I think it's an extraordinary question or line of questions.
But is it not? Really, what I'm getting at, is it not necessary to do that? That if you are not seeing the results you want, and you don't see responses from management and from the clinicians that you want, you've really got to,
Look, I go into a hospital and I look around. For example, I went into Vincent's of a Monday morning and there was 25 people there, and there were old women there who should not have been there overnight. I take it personally.
I saw it myself. I saw a man who urinated in a chair, an old man.
No, it's not okay.
And no one came near him.
It's not okay. And I take the patient safety experience personally. And, you know, the Matter Hospital has an excellent manager in Josephine Ryan, who is really, really trying to improve the services. You know, the Matter Hospital was paid to do scoliosis adolescent work. And, you know, that has only begun since July. There are a number of changes that have only begun since July. But look, I don't know how else to do my job. I'm elected by the people of Dunleary. You know, I have a mandate to represent the people. I'm there on behalf of the patients. I'm there on behalf of the staff who work there. And, you know, what do you want me to do? Like, I have to do my job. If you don't like
moving
me,
on to the Children's Hospital, please ask the minister, says a texter, when the hospital will be ready to receive patients. Is it going to be 2026 now? What guarantees are there that it will even be next year? It's an omni shambles. Now, I've been kind of going on about the Children's Hospital ever since it was proposed, to put it madly, on top of the Matter as a big bubble. Then it moved to James. That wasn't the right place, but it's there now. We have to accept that it's there. And the cost overruns have been just insane. But it's going to be there. When is it going to open, and is it going to be properly staffed?
Yes, and but the day one will be different to day 1,000.
Sure.
You know, we will build that staff over time. Look, the Children's Hospital has had a long background, as it were. But again, if you look at the cost of it in relative terms, you're saying about 2 billion, 2.3 billion euros overall. That is less than the amount of money that I will spend this year on drugs for people. Like, our drugs budget is well over 3 billion euros. Drugs in hospitals, when you go to the pharmacy and you pay a maximum of 80 euros, it's the state that pays for everything else. It's not that the drugs cost 80 euros. It's that the state pays for everything else. The Children's Hospital is less than a tenth of my annual current spend on health. every year. It's an important investment and it's a necessary investment. And when you see the hospital and you see that this is a space, not that's going to fix everything for every family, but this is a space where you can really focus on dignity of experience, you can focus on timely access to care, you can focus on quality of life for children that need to be there. It is a completely different experience. I have, as many other parents have, a long-term relationship with the children's hospitals. If you're the parent of a child with a long-term illness or a chronic long-term illness, you know that the conditions matter, that you get excited when you're in Crumlin and you get a room with a bathroom. Like, these things are, they're well over, you know, they shouldn't be as important as they are. In the new children's hospital, not only is there a space for a parent to lie down flat and sleep, a bed, a place to hang some clothes, their own bathroom, it's a completely different, more dignified experience. And honestly, I really think it's worth every penny for the parents who know that experience. I was speaking with Councillor Vicky Casserly just this week, whose child, she was in the UN General Assembly with her son, James Casserly, who's a phenomenal disabilities advocate. She was telling me about the time she was lying on the floor in Crumlin and the rain was coming in under the door. And she and I are going to go to the Children's Hospital together just to take a moment to experience the difference. This is such an important investment. And yes, it will be well staffed and we will build that over time. But this is really important. And I think people, you know, there's a lot of background to it and I get why there's focus on that. But what I'm concerned about now is making sure that the BAM, the contractor who we have paid a lot of money, deliver on their contractual commitments, that we get Children's Health Ireland into that hospital to begin to commission it and that we get patients in.
Now, the set piece of the budget is over and no doubt we'll get more and more detail as to how money's going to be spent. But the big set piece that's forthcoming is the presidential election. And on yesterday's Hard Shoulder, Kieran Cuddy asked the independent presidential candidate, Catherine Connolly, whether she would hire a convicted rapist to work in Áras an Uachtaráin. And this is what she had to say.
I'd have to reflect on that. I'd have to think on that. This person was absolutely perfect.
If they were perfect for the job,
yeah.
A convicted rapist.
I'd have to think about that. Obviously, as a woman, straight away, my reaction is
yeah.
But I'd have to.
Does it not undermine what you just said about rehabilitation? And it's not our job in society to punish someone twice.
This is the whole point why I said as a woman I react. But so obviously, I'd have to think about that. Of course, I would. I'd have to reflect.
Okay.
I'd have to look at that.
So, what do you make of that response?
Well, can I just be clear that I wouldn't have to reflect on it in the highest office, in the highest seat of the land. And I don't think Heather Humphreys, much more importantly, would ever have to reflect on it. The answer is no. It's straight no. And I can't believe that you'd have to reflect on it. Yes, fine. We have prisons and we have rehabilitation. That's fine. But we're talking about bringing people into Leinster House, into Áras an Uachtaráin. And there shouldn't be any ambiguity. When I leave here, I'm going to Ruhama, which is the organisation for trafficked women who are brought to Ireland and routinely raped by men in brothels. There is no ambiguity in relation to sexual violence. And there should be, by the way, no ambiguity in relation to Airigi either. An organisation like this, you know, this is not exactly shoplifting or anything like that where you can rehabilitate and go into a new world. This is about the attitudes towards the state, towards the courts, towards the institutions of this state. And I happen to be, and Heather Humphreys is a defender of the institutions, the political institutions of this state. And it is a mystery to me that anybody running for president or even a dull office would be in this space where there's ambiguity about serious criminal activity, either on terrorism side or on sexual violence.
I mean, Heather Humphreys hasn't had really too many banana skins so far, but she did have, in a video launched by her campaign, mistake the Reichstag in Berlin for Belfast City Hall.
Do you know what? Even as you say that, I'm like, I can't even believe that we're comparing, that we're possibly comparing.
No, we're not. I'm looking for banana skins because she's been quiet in the campaign.
Fair, you know, Heather Humphreys is a very experienced politician, and this is why this matters. She has held executive office in 5 or 6 different government departments. She has run budgets. She knows about the constitutional pressures. She knows about the nuance of government, the nuance of the constitutionality, the constraints that governments face. She knows about how Ireland fits into the international system, the European Union, the United Nations. That is somebody that I want representing me internationally, not somebody who doesn't know about Nazi Germany and Germany today and the pressures that Europe is facing.
It's funny you should say Nazi Germany. And of course, the Reichstag featured largely the Reichstag fire in the Nazi era. Anyway, I want to park that because there's one last issue I want you to address if you can. You know about the flotilla and the second flotilla and people have been detained. Well, members of the Global Summit flotilla arrived home to Ireland and one of them was Tadhg Hickey, who's from Cork, and he had this to say about their treatment in Israel.
And one of our comrades, I don't think he'd mind me saying, a 75-year-old man trying to bring baby formula to a besieged population, was taken out of his prison cell at 2 o'clock in the morning, guns pointed at his head, and all he was asking for was his insulin. They wouldn't give the man insulin for 3 or 4 days. They were, in my opinion, they were very happy to let him die. So it's not even a patch on what Palestinians are going through. But that was on my mind the whole time. I was thinking, if they're treating me like this with the passport I have and the privilege I have, imagine what they're doing to Palestinians in prisons, many of whom are children. And I can't countenance that my government or any Western government still has diplomatic relations with a state that kidnaps humanitarians in international waters.
So that's what Thai Kiki has to say. Doesn't he have a point when we watch what is going on there?
About what?
About having diplomatic relations with what amounts to a rogue state.
Well, I think it was diplomatic relations that got him and other people home, and it's diplomatic relations that are helping me get children out of Gaza through the medical evacuations. It's the fact that we have an ambassador there who's incredibly hardworking, who has managed to get into those prison cells ahead of other ambassadors, ahead of other countries, because of her skill, because of her experience. So we have diplomatic relations precisely for those reasons, to help get Irish citizens out when is necessary, to help get children in Gaza out back to us so that we can treat them here. So that's why that's important. But by far the most important thing I thought Tadhg said there is this pales in comparison to the experience that Palestinians have. And I think everybody listening to that will has a measure of concern for them, but reflects a much greater concern for what Palestinians are experiencing, rather than people who are, you know, sailing over and then being sent home in a very short period of time. The ongoing torture that is happening to the people of Palestine is just unbelievable at this point.
And perhaps it will at least be paused in the coming days.
Oh, I very much hope so. Oh, we so much hope so, of course.
Minister for Health, Jennifer Carol McNeill, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.